Gentlemen, today is Shiva Sar B'Tammuz minus one. Yesterday was Shabbos Shiva Sar B'Tammuz, so we are commemorating the fast today, Yudchet Tammuz, the 18th day of Tammuz, because you cannot fast on Shabbos. So allow me to say two small comments about Shiva Sar B'Tammuz, and then I'm going to let everyone go ahead and fast throughout the day. And my comments have to only deal with the date of Shiva Sar B'Tammuz. Why are we ultimately fasting on the 17th day of Tammuz? I want to make a Babylonian statement, and then I'm going to make a Jerusalem statement. Okay? Babylonian statement and Jerusalem statement. The Gemara in Maseches Taanis, Daf Lamed, deals with this fast day called Shiva Sar B'Tammuz and asks, how come you say 17th of Tammuz? If you look in the Bible, the Tanakh that's in front of Bruce right now, you would find out that it says there explicitly on which day were the walls of Jerusalem breached, on which day did the three-year siege end. So, Vus Meitzich, how do you get to 17th? The Gemara answers, we're talking about Churban Bayis Sheni. In other words, the fast day that we're commemorating is the one from Bayit Sheni. Now, logically, this makes sense, simply because we're closer to Bayit Sheni than Bayit Rishon. More than that, the tragedy of Bayit Sheni is more compounded than Bayit Rishon. Can anyone tell me why? Why is it that the breach of the walls of Bayit Sheni is more tragic than the one of the Bayit Rishon? Why was it more brutal?
Well, I just came back from Rome and I read up a lot on this. I mean, it was brutal beyond words.
You're getting close.
No? You're getting warm?
You said warm.
Isn't the present day dispersion?
You said you're warm in Rome.
Yeah. The present day dispersion.
There you go.
All these years.
The Jewish people were sent to exile after Bayit Rishon, but 70 years later, a few decades later, they were back. Now, I want to make this clear. Bayit Sheni was not God's gift to a Beis HaMikdash. There were many, many, many miracles that did not exist during Bayit Sheni that were there during Bayit Rishon. There was one thing, for example, in the Beis HaMikdash that was missing during Bayit Sheni, that between you and me and the walls is a pretty important piece of furniture. What was that? No, what was missing?
The Aron.
All the miracles, the Eish that didn't go out during Bayit Rishon did not exist during Bayit Sheni. As a matter of fact, the only miracle that happened during Bayit Sheni was the fact that during the days of the Chashmonaim, the menorah lasted for 7 days. That was it. There was no miracles. So ultimately, Bayit Sheni, even that, 70 years later, but Baruch Hashem, 70 years later, we have a Beis HaMikdash. Ever since Bayit Sheni, we do not. So therefore, in terms of quantity, that tragedy is greater. Simply because, if you think about it, and let's think about it, we have not yet rebuilt the third Beis HaMikdash, so ever since that Shiva Asar B'Tammuz, till 2012, that has not been filled into our lives. Yes, Bruce. You're right. That's why these 3 weeks are here. It is very hard to miss something you never had. It is very hard to mourn for someone you've never met, and it's very hard to mourn for a Beis HaMikdash you were never in. You're absolutely right. I don't want to belittle that. The only simple answer I'm going to give, which is not a good answer, is that this is what the 3 weeks are for. To slowly but surely get into a mode of missing it. That's why we don't just have Tisha B'Av, we have 3 weeks. Anyway, getting back to our point. What halachot did they institute?
Let's say taking Arba Minim.
Yeah.
Not in the
Bible. Right.
So therefore, instead of actually missing it because you don't take it, these practices allowed us to do things without the temple. So instead of sort of like missing, not doing them, we're doing them, and we're not going to miss it.
Bruce, you're giving a very interesting question, but unfortunately, your information, in my opinion, is a bit flawed. You're only giving half the picture. Rav Yochanan ben Zakkai did make enactments that were Zecher LaMikdash, meaning we are going to take the Arba Minim not for one day, but for 7 days, minus Shabbos, to remember that's the way it was in the Beis HaMikdash. And he made different takanos to remember the way it used to be. At the Seder we eat Korech, to remember the way it used to be. On the other hand, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai did something else. The other side of the coin was, he made takanos that were not Zecher LaMikdash, but to be more precise, to remember the Churban Beis HaMikdash. For example, the wall and everything else. So therefore it wasn't just remember how great it was, oh we'll do it here now, it's a big deal. We used to do it there, we'll do it here. Please take the lulav and esrog over there, we'll do it in shul. On the other hand, there were other takanos that were made. Not to listen to music anymore. That a kala doesn't go to the wedding with jewelry on. All these things were ultimately made to remember you're missing something. So you're absolutely right, it is very difficult. But, be it as it may, that it is very difficult, and I don't want to belittle it. The bottom line is, the Gemara says that we commemorate Shiva Asar B'Tammuz because of the second Beis HaMikdash. Now, if that is the case, allow me to make my first comment. Do you remember the Gemara in Yom Adaf Ted Amud Bet? Of course not. No one remembers that. Does anyone remember why the first Beis HaMikdash was destroyed in the eyes of Chazal? They gave reasons. Now, by the way, these are not the only reasons. There's many different reasons from Midrashim and whatnot, but the three main reasons they gave were what? No. First Beis HaMikdash. You're getting mixed up. First Beis HaMikdash. The big three, namely Avodah Zarah, Gilui Arayos, and Shvichus Damim. Murder, idolatry, and adultery. Those are the three Averos that they were violating on the eve of the Churban Bayis Rishon. The three Averos that I remind you have to die for rather than transgress. Then the Gemara asks, okay, how do you know it? And they bring Psukim. They were doing this, they were doing that, they were doing the other thing. And then the Gemara asks, what about Bayit Sheni? Bayit Sheni, there's no Nevuah, so there's no Psukim. And the Gemara comes to the answer that what? No? Sinas Chinam. Sinas Chinam. Ramecha, says the Gemara, Sheshkula Sinat Chinam, Keneged Giloy Arayot Shvichotam Avodah Zarah. In other words, the big three are equal to one Sinas Chinam. It's known that Rav Kook said that if Sinas Chinam was the reason why on Shiva Asar B'Tammuz the walls were breached and 3 weeks later the Beis HaMikdash was destroyed, that the way to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash, or the way to ultimately think that we may have it again, is to engage in Ahavas Chinam, to engage in love as opposed to hate. So allow me to make my first comment and say as follows. If indeed we are commemorating Shiva Asar B'Tammuz because the tragedy is greater, it's greater because since then we have not yet rebuilt the Beis HaMikdash, but more importantly, Sinas Chinam is even worse than the big three, then allow me to make my first comment this morning. The Rambam says in Perakei of Ilchot Ta'aniyot that these fast days are a means to lachzor b'tshuva, to think about what's wrong and to do tshuva. So allow me this morning to throw out the first aspect that I believe the Jewish people in 2012 need to do tshuva on, and that is the following. Many of us watch the news, many of us read the newspapers. Many of us know that the main issues today in Israel are
schism
namely, schism at Ichiloni, Haredim not going to the army, and the famous Mechaa Chevratit. That's what's on the news, right? The big demonstration last night had to do with army, and ultimately the financial situation, the financial crisis. I believe it is, and I'll tell you why. Gentlemen, when you lived in America, or wherever you come from, when you watched the news, you may have commented on the news, and you may have said the following words. You know what they should do? They should go ahead and do X, or they should stop doing Y. In Israel, to my dismay, when Jews are watching about what's happening in the Haredi world with regard to the army, or with regard to the Mecha'a Chevratit, the demonstrations that have to do with the financial situation, for some reason, we also engage in the they should do this or they should do that. Gentlemen, this is not they. This is we. This is not watching the news in America when you're sitting in New York and you're seeing what's happening in Colorado with your fellow Americans, in which you could say they. These are our fellow Jews, brothers and sisters. And therefore, it's not they, it's that we know what we should do. We should do A, B, or C. And if we start talking about the Haredi world as they, or the Chiloni world as they, then we have not learned anything from history. That is, in my opinion, the first step to Sinas Chinam. You start saying, we are two nations, they and us. And when you live in a frock where everyone's like you, we all are Zionists, we're all religious, we all wear kippot srugot, if God forbid, Rahman al-Itzlan, it's to be a tragedy of all tragedies, you come into shul and you see a guy with a black hat, everyone's going to look at him and say, where did you come from, you alien? Then it's even more important that we start saying us, not they. We, not they. That's my first Babylonian comment on Shiva Asar B'Tammuz. And my second comment is a Jerusalem comment. As you know, there's a Babylonian Talmud, and there's a Jerusalem Talmud. Now, let's just go through this one more time so everybody remembers. The Babylonian Talmud and the Jerusalem Talmud are different. The Jerusalem Talmud was written before the Babylonian Talmud. Different methodology. Many different many different ways to explain halachos in the Jerusalem Talmud versus the Babylonian Talmud. We won't go into all the examples. What is the common denominator between the two? Both Talmuds are commenting on... yes, but what's the text, the departure, the point of departure in both? The Mishnah. The Mishnah is written in the Jerusalem Talmud and the Babylonian Talmud, the same Mishnah. The Gemara, namely the Amoraim, that are now dealing with the Mishnah, are different. These are sitting in Jerusalem and these are in Babylonia. But they all deal with the same text originally, the Mishnah. Okay? So the same Mishnah exists in the Jerusalem Talmud, where the Jerusalem Talmud, it says, on Shiva Asar B'Tammuz, five terrible things happened. And on Tisha B'Av, five terrible things happened. So the same Mishnah in both places. And the Gemara in both places asks the same question, but it says in Tanakh, the ninth day. So how did you get to the 17th day? So as we said, the Jerusalem Talmud answers, this is by Bayit Sheni, this is by Bayit Rishon, very nice. What does the Jerusalem Talmud say? Does anyone know what the Jerusalem Talmud says? I just learned it this year. I am flabbergasted from this Jerusalem Talmud. The Jerusalem Talmud uses four words. You ready? Everyone sitting down? No one drank coffee this morning, but you're all ready for this one? Anyone going to get heart failure from this? It's not on my responsibility. The Jerusalem Talmud says, Kilkul cheshbonot yeshkan. We got mixed up. Mixed up. It should have said in Tanakh 17th. Oi, we got mixed up. Can anyone ask a question on this? No, they didn't say they got mixed up. They said the Tanakh got mixed up. They're saying this psukim in Tanakh that's saying 9th, not 17. Kilkul cheshbonot yeshka. Let me ask you something. I understand that the Jewish people were very, very fablungent because they were in a tragedy. You know, go to the Holocaust. People forgot when Shabbos is and Yom Tov is. You're in the middle of hell. You don't remember these things. But how does the Navi, who gets a word from God, sort of mix it up? How can that be? On the Jerusalem Talmud, there are two Perushim in a normal edition. One is the Pinei Moshe, and the other is the Korban Eidah. So on the Gemara, you have Rashi and Tosvot. And in the Jerusalem Talmud, in the normal versions of it, you have Korban Eidah and Pinei Moshe. They both say the same thing. You know what they say? They say, God Kiviyachol gets mixed up because His Jewish people are in the middle of hell. God, so to speak, intentionally wrote the wrong date to show I'm also mixed up. Because of the tragedies that are happening that I'm suffering from. So I got all fablungent also, and therefore I wrote the wrong date. Yeah?
Firstly, you're applying human characteristics to Hashem. And second thing, that logic is any place else. I mean, Jewish people were slaves in Egypt for 300
years. On your first comment, you're absolutely right. We're putting, so to speak, human characteristics to God. How does God get mixed up? But here, obviously, my answer is very simple. It's not that God got mixed up. God intentionally made it as if he's mixed up. And we have examples of God doing things that made it as if. It says in the Torah many times, Vayicharaf Hashem. God got upset. God doesn't get upset. Everything God does is not because, oh, I lost my temper. God does it because it's the right thing to do. And what God thought about it in his divine wisdom and did whatever it is. And it's obviously to teach us sort of characteristics of God or characteristics of ourselves. So it's not that God got mixed up. God wanted you to think that he got mixed up. That's the answer to your first question. On your second question, and that is what? Repeat it.
We don't use this logic.
So here I have to disagree. We use it everywhere. The Gemara says in a different place, any time the Jewish people went into Golos, Shekhinah galta imahem. The Shekhinah, the holy presence of God, went into Golos together with them. I repeat, any place that the Jewish people went into Golos, God went with them. And therefore, you were in Babel, and Yeshua had Kedusha. How did Yeshua have Kedusha? Where did you get the Kedusha from? You went to the local Babylonian marketplace and you bought some Kedusha. You paid whatever it was. You came home. Here you go. The Shekhinah went into Golos with the Jewish people. Now we don't have the full-fledged presence of God like we did in the Har HaBayit in the Beis HaMikdash, but we have a Mikdash Me'at, a small little Mikdash. Thus says the Gemara, based on the Psukim of Yechezkel, Ve'yilahem, the Mikdash Me'at, Elu Batek Nisiyot, Uvatei Midrashot, Shebit Babel. So any place ultimately the Jewish people went, God Shekhinah went with them. And therefore, if the Jewish people are suffering, God is suffering. I remember I told the story around this table and I say it again. There was a rabbi in Germany that the father says you have to go to Minyan, and if you don't go to Minyan, you get breakfast with a piece of bread without any spread on it. One day the boy wake up late, the father said you're not getting any spread on your breakfast. So they sat down to breakfast and the father didn't need any spread on his bread at all as well. So he says, Dad, why don't you eat spread? You went to Minyan. And the answer he gave was, because my son is not eating spread. Well, I'm going to eat when my son's not. I'm punishing you. You deserve it. But I'm suffering together with you.
That'll give the kid a guilt trip.
What?
That'll give the kid a guilt trip.
Yeah.
Something to talk about.
And if we talk about guilt trips, let's go a step further. Ladies and gentlemen, do you understand what the Yerushalmi is saying? That God, so to speak, is suffering together with us. He punishes us. He warned us, Yeshayahu, Yechezkel, Yirmiyah. We didn't listen. So God said, bye-bye, left the Beis HaMikdash. But ultimately, Shekhinah galta imahem, I'm suffering together with you. I'm suffering so much with you that I'm mixing up the date, Kiviyachol, because I'm all fablungent like you. Now, if this is the case, then allow me to say the Jerusalem Talmud is teaching us something with regard to Shiva Sabbat Talmud that we dare not forget. If the Haredi world right now is suffering because of this army Chok Tal that's going to run out on the 1st of August, then not only is it not enough to say we and us versus they, we have to ultimately feel their pain. From their perspective, the Torah world is going down the drain. Of course, we have Hesda Yeshivas, great Gedolim came out of it even though they went to the army. I do not accept for 1 minute that going into the army means you cannot be a Gadol B'Yisrael. There's been great Gedolim that went through the Holocaust without one sefer to learn for 5-6 years of NDP camps, and eventually they got somewhere in the world and we still call them Gedolim. So I don't accept for a minute that a year or two of army or three is going to make a person a non-Gadol. But let's feel their pain. Even though we don't agree with them, let's feel their pain. Let's feel what they're going through, and then we can try to help. But if you don't feel it, like God feels the suffering of the Jewish people, then with all due respect, this is like someone that's starving, and he's dying of hunger, and he's dry, and he's dehydrated, and you go up to him after you ate a good meal, and you say, hey, what's the matter? Are you hungry? Wait a few hours, you'll eat some. With all due respect, there's no conversation there. We have to start feeling what the Jewish people are going through, even if it doesn't affect us, me, personally. Because that's the only way we can help. And that's what I believe the Shiva Sabbat Talmud is teaching us, according to the Jerusalem Talmud. Imo Anochi Bitzara. Can anybody tell me where we say those three words? Imo anochi betzara, I am with you in your tzaras, in your hardships. Gentlemen, the time now is 9:36. I believe you said it not but 13 hours ago.
Tehillim,
where? When do we say it? Every week. Vehi Noam. Motzei Shabbos. What do we say? Imo anochi betzara, achalatzeyu ve'achabadeyu. If I am with you in your hardship, then I will achalatzeyu. What does that mean? Lachlotz, to take you out, ba'achabadeyu, I'll give you honor. But if you're not with me in my tzaras, then you have nothing to do with me. You know, the doctor that comes and gives you the blood test, with a big smile on, oh, this is going to hurt a little bit. You think I care? This is going to hurt a little bit. And he says, oh, I'm sorry, with a big smile. He didn't get poked, you got poked. Now, if the doctor came with tears in his eyes and says, oh, I am so sorry, I'm going to hurt you, oh, I am so sorry, and he does it, then you'll say, thank you, you made me feel better. But if a doctor with a big smile says, this is going to hurt a little bit, and with a big smile pokes you, what? You're going to start saying, oh, this guy's going to make me feel better. Here's my comforter. Ladies and gentlemen, we have to start feeling the hardships of the Jewish people. That's why Motzei Shabbos, when you get out of the bubble of Shabbos, you're about to confront the world. You want to help people. You want to solve problems. The first thing you have to do is feel what they're going through. And then you can solve their problems. And it's very interesting. Can you tell me when we don't say Vehi Noam? Yontif. If Yontif comes out Motzei Shabbos, I know. Beyond that, when don't we say Vehi Noam?
If there's a
what?
If it's not a full week.
If it's not a full week of work on the one hand, and this year, very relevant, opposite. In other words, if there's a Yontif during the week that breaks up the full week work week, we don't say Vehi Noam. We don't say those words. Can you tell me another time that we don't say it? This year, gentlemen, this year. 3 weeks away. Tisha B'Av comes out Motzei Shabbos, we don't say it. There's even a kina we add to the kinas at night, V'yehi Noam Nishpat B'Motzei Shabbat. The V'yehi Noam is silent on Motzei Shabbos. A whole kina about the fact that we're not saying V'yehi Noam. Funny thing, no? Now why don't we say it in those two times? Because they're two sides of the same coin. If during the week there's a yontiv, you feel God is with us. I mean, in just 2, 3, 4 days, I'm going to be with God in a rendezvous, a yontif. It could be in the sukkah, it could be at the seder, it could be an all-night shavuos. I'm with God. I feel God's with me. It's not 6 days away for another Shabbos. It's 4 days away, 5 days away. And on the other hand, on Motzei Shabbos, Shechal Bo Tisha B'Av, that's the one day of the year where we feel God is not with us. Because how can God allow this to happen? Therefore, the first words out of our mouth after Ma'ariv is not V'yehi Noam, V'yimo Anochi B'tzara. But what do we say? We sit on the floor, and what's the first words out of our mouth? Well, gentlemen, it happened last year. You all forgot. That's good. I'm happy you forgot. Rav Soloveitchik once said that in Europe, they used to print kinos like this piece of paper, these kind of kinos, junky. And then when they finished kinos, they put it in Geniza, because they said, next year we wouldn't need this. I wish I had such a muna. I bought a hardcover kinos. So I'm glad you all forgot. You said, oh, Tisha B'Av is a long lost dream. We were hoping we wouldn't need to do it again. I'm happy. Gentlemen, no? What's the first words after Meyer when Tisha B'Av night?
Nachim.
What do we say? What?
Nachim.
Tisha B'Av night? Now, Nachim is only... You go through the whole experience of kinos at night, in the morning, and then by mincha you say nachim. No? Eicha. What does eicha mean? What's eicha mean? How? How can it be? Eicha yashva bada? How can the city become desolate? Eicha yuam zahava ketemato? How can the beauty, the gold of the Jewish people become nothing? Gentlemen, instead of saying Yimon Ochi B'Tzara on Tisha B'Av night, we're going to say Eicha, because we don't feel God is with us if God allowed all this to happen. There's a breach in the relationship between God and the Jewish people. Therefore, very interesting. Can anyone tell me in Halacha that we do in Shul that shows that God is not with us? I'll give you a hint. It's on my left. has to do with Bruce's story with the key to the Yara.
Kriyas HaTorah?
No. Wasn't going there, but you're close. We don't read the Torah at night. That much. Us Orthodox Jews didn't get that far yet. Come, Tisha B'Av night. You're all in shul. The chazan says, Baruch Hashem Baruch, Baruch Hashem Baruch. Everyone sits on the floor, and we do something else at that moment. What? Look to my left. What do you see? My left. An Aron Kodesh. Beautiful Aron, Achto V'Chesed on top. The Parochet is moved. This is what the Ramah says. Parochet moved. Why? Why? Anyone think about that? Why? Simon of Avelus. Why? You're in an Avelus home, and you're burning a Sefer Torah with an Aron, you don't take off the Parochet. Why do we take off the Parochet on Tisha B'Av night? What's the significance of taking off the Parochet? Now I admit I never thought about this, just like you guys have never thought about it. I heard this year a beautiful, beautiful chiddush from Rav Soloveitchik. It is so shot oriented. Sometimes you smack yourself in the face and you say, how come I didn't think of this one alone? New gentleman, in the Chumash, what's the parochas for? New? What did they do in the Beis HaMikdash? Beautiful. You quoted the pasuk. V'yivdila parochet lachem. Ben HaKodesh, uven Kodesh HaKodeshim. The parochet was a partition between the Kodesh, where Kohanim were allowed to go into, and the Kodesh Kodeshim, that who went into once a year? The Kohen Gadol. In other words, it is a partition between the holy presence of God and where the Jewish people function, be it the Kohanim, etc. So the Kohanim in the Kodesh, outside the Chatzir, the Jewish people as well. It's like saying, God is over there, I'm over here, here's a partition. Kavod. Very nice. Tisha B'Av night. Do we feel God's there after all these tragedies are happening? No. So you take off the parochas to sort of make a statement. God is not even here with us anymore. So here, take off the parochas. Why do you need a parochas for? Well, you need a partition if God is there. If God is not there, take off the parochas. Therefore, the Ramah brings the minhag, take off the parochas. And he brings a pasuk to prove it. Do you know which pasuk he brings from Eicha? Bitsa imrato. God, what's mevatsea?
Execute.
He executed imrato, his words. He said, I'm going to destroy it if you don't chozer b'tshuva. You didn't. God executed it. So, no shechina. No shechina. The show ke'ilu, the shechina is not with us. We take off the parochas. When do we return it? That was your answer before. Nachem, remember? At Mincha you say Nachem. So at Mincha you return the parochas. You sit on the chairs again. We start rebuilding the relationship at Mincha for various reasons. But until then, it's like God's not in the room. And therefore on Tisha B'Av night, v'yihi Noam, no. God is not with us in this tzara, because if he was with us, he wouldn't allow it to happen. No parochas, because God's not in the room. And finally, let's add one more halacha, just to spice that up a little bit. What don't we say on Tisha B'Av night in Kaddish? Which stanza? Titkabel. What's Titkabel? Titkabel tzilotohon uva'uton dechol Beit Yisrael. God, may you... What's Kibalti?
Receive.
Receive. God, receive our prayers. God didn't receive any prayers. God's not... How can we ask God to receive our prayers in a day where it says, Satam tfilati? God's not listening to your prayers. You can make you pray all you want. God gave you a chance. You missed it. Goodbye.
Isn't this all compounded when you have not only this, but you have the Shoah, you know, which really makes, you know, this period seem insignificant to some degree. I mean, like, you know, I mean, that's how you feel as a kid.
My late Rosh Hashiva and my Rebbe, Rav Amital Zechon Levracha, once said, right before Tisha B'Av, that someone told him that when he reads the Kinos, he feels that it's nothing compared to the Shoah.
Yeah.
Know what he answered?
Yeah.
You're absolutely right. And I can't disagree with that. I think the Shoah was a tragedy of all tragedies. And we never went through anything like it. And we went through Crusades, and we went through Paro, and we went through Haman, and we went through Khmelnytsky massacres. And we went through terrible things. If you looked in your Siddur today, you saw there was Slichos for between Tanis Esther and Shivas HaRetamos, there's usually Sichos at Kaf Sivan. You know what Kaf Sivan was? It was the day of the Khmelnytsky massacres. That was the day that they commemorated what happened in 1648 with the Cossacks. It all midgets compared to the Shoah. I absolutely agree. Doesn't mean, however, that we don't mourn for other tragedies as well.
How does the person get ready for when you look through a period which is a thousand times worse?
I'll get to it a different day, not today. Maybe Wednesday we'll talk about it. But gentlemen, just today on the Shavuos HaBetamos, allow me to say, we have to feel the tragedy of the Jewish people, because if not, then we're not going to be able to do anything about it. You know, it's very difficult. It's a beautiful shul, beautiful day outside. How are you going to feel things are wrong right now?
Yeah, but you know, you ought to see it all the time, like you mentioned, and I agree with you. You know, and I said this often to a friend of mine who was very upset. I think we live in two countries. I really do. When I see traders getting off like this guy Oy Blau, you know, I know one thing, you know, that if the tables are turned, the punishment, you know, would be a thousand times worse.
Okay.
And you see it now, I'm just trying to tell you see it all the time.
I don't wanna engage in specific cases of this guy or that guy, but I think that if there is a traitor in this people, in the Jewish people, we have to deal with it. The first way to deal with it is exactly like the Yerushalmi Talmud says. Let's say he's one of us and this is the tragedy. He is one of us. He's not Epis, another nation that's coming in. He's not a Miragel that came in from somewhere else. Okay, but here's why I believe that I have to make one more comment about Shavuos HaBetamos. With this, I'll end and I'll hear your question. I mentioned the Babylonian, the Jerusalem, I'll need to make one more comment. I go back to the Rambam in Hilchot Taniyot Perakei that says that these fast days are a means to lachzor b'tshuva. I will not accept for a minute the notion that happens sometimes in our community, and I've heard it, and it sickens me, that halavai everyone will be like us because we're great. We're not great. We're not great. We have problems. We have challenges. We also have our pekalach. And no, even though Baruch Hashem, we're Zionist, we're religious, we're best of both worlds, we're modern, we're orthodox, wonderful, it's terrific. Gentlemen, there's a lot of problems in our little world too. I am not going to accept for a moment the notion that sometimes comes out, halavai, everyone will be like us. There's a great Rosh Yeshiva in Israel, I won't mention his name. He was asked by students in a press conference. You know what a press conference is? In Hebrew we call it a shoot, she'elot v'tshuvot. In English we call it a press conference. The Rosh Yeshiva sits, and everyone asks him questions, and he answers freely. So they asked him, should we go into tikshoret? Should we go into the media? After all, the media are the ones that basically are the ones that set the minds in Israel. They're the ones that make the news. So perhaps it will be great that Yeshiva Bachur's B'nai Torah will go into the media and be able to influence it properly. And his answer was no. Why? Because you wait 20 years, everyone will be like us. So why go down to their level? Be a rabbi, be a mechanech. Don't be going to the media. What do you mean everyone's going to be like us? What, we're perfect? We're wonderful? By us, everything's terrific? We don't have people that are out there right now, as I'm talking to you, that are saying, well, it's no problem to go ahead and to take off the tires of a leftist. And it's no problem to go ahead and shoot a leftist because, hey, you know, he's a traitor. I'm sorry. In my version of the Chumash, it said, Lo Tirtach. I don't remember there was a caveat there, but if he's a leftist, it's okay. You may not like him. You may think he's doing harm to the Jewish people. And there's ways to deal with that. But don't think for a moment that it's legitimate to engage in either violence or, God forbid, murder just because you don't like the guy. So, we're perfect? We don't have people coming out of our communities that are throwing their kippahs off, throwing their tefillin the other way? None? We're perfect? Because we're religious Zionists, nothing like us? On this Shavuos HaBetamos, I think it's a good time for us to contemplate where we're not perfect. Now, I know we're not going to solve the world's problems, that's for sure. That we can't do. What we could try to do is solve one problem. So instead of engaging in many different things, let's engage in one thing. Everyone go home today and think of one thing, one aspect that we can change in our own lives. It could be in our own homes. But believe me, if things were perfect, there'd be a Beis HaMikdash, today would be a Yontif. If it's not, then it's not perfect. And I don't believe that it's not perfect everywhere else, but here it's great. And if everyone else would like be like us, then it would be great. I don't think we're perfect yet. Those are my three comments on Shavuos HaBetamos. Firstly, to reiterate the Babylonian comment of Sinas Chinam, to stop saying they, but rather us, we. Number two, the Jerusalem comment Al imo anochi betzara, feeling the hardship of the Jewish people. And number three, we have to engage in our own introspection. We're not perfect. Comments? One second, Abus. Yeah. Our Olech Hadash always goes first in this kolo. I forgot your name, I'm sorry. Avraham, once again, welcome. Olech Hadash, welcome to Efrat, welcome to Israel. Yes, Avraham.
You know, when we talk about God, there are things that we see and that we can see, and then there are things we cannot see. It doesn't change God. It just is that there are things we can see, things we can't see. There are things we like, there are things we don't like. It doesn't change God. Something is terrible, it's terrible. And it doesn't matter what year it's in. It doesn't have to say, this is more terrible than that. Terrible is terrible. Things we can see, things we can understand, things we can grasp, and things we can't see, we can't understand, we can't grasp. But it doesn't change God. God,
you're right.
Always.
I totally agree. But what's I don't understand.
Well, the point is, like, you were raising the issue of almost like trying to scale things about this. How do we understand this? How do we understand that? This is terrible. This is more terrible than that. And I'm saying that a terrible thing is a terrible thing. And we don't always see the hand of God in all the things that we'd like to see it in. And I'm just saying that that's a reality. That's how I've come to, you know, to try to understand all the different things. Because I too used to be that way.
I agree with you that we don't see God as clearly in certain situations than we do in other situations. God does not change, I also agree with. But we do have a notion in the Torah called Hester Panim. God says it himself, Anochi Hester Hester Panai Beyomahu, Akol Ra'a Asher Asu, Kifanai Lulahim Achirim. We don't know what Hester Panim means. Does it mean that God literally goes bye-bye? Does it mean that God just hides his face and lets it happen? It's a very hard concept. But it's true that God doesn't change. We change. We could change. We should change. God does not change. I agree with you totally. But there are times that God is closer to us, and there's times that God is further from us. You feel God more vividly when things are going great, and you don't feel God when things are going terribly. And therefore, on the Tisha B'Av night, to show we don't feel God, or at least we should feel like we don't feel God, though you're right, Bruce, it's hard to feel it when you never had it, you take the parochet off. Yes, Bruce.
Well, it's kind of opposite of the parochet, because of the story with the father that doesn't eat the jam and the bread, because he shares in the punishment. And then we learn that God goes into gloom with us, and God shares the strength with us. So removing the parochet, I thought, removes the separation, because God never leaves. And therefore, we're actually closer to God during the punishment. It's clear that this unnatural, that the place is from God.
I think you're bringing up a very good question. If God's with us, how can we remove the parochet? That's a very, very...
I thought it was the opposite.
I think that is a very, very good point.
So
I think it's a good point. I think it's a good point. But having said that, it is a good point. There's obviously, in my opinion, two aspects that are happening at the same time. God is with us in Galus, but on the other hand, you don't feel God as much, and therefore you take off the parochet. If God was with us totally, you have Nisim and the flows. The Eish and the Mizbeach wouldn't go out. There'd be an Aron. On Yom Kippur, you'd see the Lashon Zuhuri turning to white. And you feel God like this. Be right there. I remind you what we said on Wednesday. Shalosh Pamim Meshanah Yereecho Zechorecha. 3 times a year, come up to the Beis HaMikdash and you say, how you doing? We can't do that today. So though, Baruch Hashem, God is with us in Galus. Yimo Anochi Vitzara. There are times where you do not feel it. And one of those times is indeed Tisha B'Av.
When Jews get together in abroad, you know, you meet another Jew somewhere. My brother's now in Thailand, for example. So Jews happen to be anywhere, just to meet another Jew in Israel. So
that's right.
Somehow in Israel, we're all like, you know, American Israel is British Israel. So it's like that. Being Jewish is like almost secondary for them. And abroad, being Jewish was primary.
You got it. You got it. And if you want to bring up a notion of tshuva, then I think that's a very good point, and you should write an article on it. How can it be that in the land of Israel, in the state of Israel, we're becoming 5 nations, but yet you're in an airport in some favofana place, and you see a kippah, and you become the best of friends? You could be a Haredi, you're a religious Zionist. You go to the army, for him going to the army is a cardinal sin. You have 3 kids, and he has 20 kids, and yet You have a lot in common. And yet, you come to Israel, he lives in his neighborhood, you live in your neighborhood, you have nothing to do with him, he has nothing to do with you, you see each other, you hate each other. Here's your notion of tshuva for Shiva Asar B'Tammuz right there and then. You should write an article on it and publish it. Very good point. Very sad point, as a matter of fact. Very sad point. How can it be that we founded a state of Israel and that causes more hatred than when we were living in Golos? How can it be? Things should get better, not worse. Things should get better and not worse. Yeah, absolutely. So we have a lot to think about in the Shiva Asar B'Tammuz, and once again, I reiterate the words of the Rambam, it's a day of tshuva, today to do some introspection. I know that our main concern today is to get through the fast, engage in monopoly, and other distractions of sorts, shapes, and sizes, but somewhere during the day, it would be appropriate, and not to mention, in my opinion, required, to go ahead and to ask ourselves, where can we change for the better? Where can we go ahead and build yet another brick towards the Beis HaMikdash being built again? The Gemara says that five terrible things happened on Shiva Asar B'Tammuz. We read about them this morning in Slichos. Luchos were broken. This, that, the other thing. The bottom line is that take an Aveira and say, how do we fix it? How do we fix it? The Luchos were broken because the Jewish people engaged in an Aveira. And everyone knows, Moshe broke the Luchos because the Jewish people did an Aveira. Right? Okay. So obviously there are other things that are happening on Tishvah Asar B'Tammuz, the burning of the Sefer Torah, the breaching of the walls and whatnot, are also because of our Aveiras, because the Gemara brings them together. So let's think about one Aveira we can do tshuva for. One Aveira. Doing two would be too much work on one day. But one Aveira, Epis, I could see, we can go ahead and engage in. May be God's will, as it's customary to say at this time of the year, that God should comfort the Jewish people, hopefully rebuild the Beis HaMikdash, and these days will indeed turn into Sasson, the Simcha, the Yamim, Tovim, Vayamet, Vashalom, Ehavu. I hope and pray that it happens soon.